Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is solo celloist Jeffrey Ziegler. Ziegler is a champion of contemporary music, formerly as a member of Kronos Quartet, and now as a solo artist and a member of a quartet, Miyamoto Is Black Enough, which combines poetry with an eclectic music group. His latest project is a collaboration with Austin-based composer laboratory Golden Hornet and composer Graham Reynolds. Ziegler and Reynolds commissioned six other contemporary composers to write new pieces for cello and electronics that were inspired by science and specific scientists. The result is the recording and live project titled The Sound of Science, and the pieces are amazingly varied and eclectic and feature music inspired by contemporary neuroscientists, biologists, climatologists, and astronomers, as well as historic figures from science like Marie Curie, George Washington Carver, and Katherine Johnson. Jeffrey Ziegler will perform his new project, The Sound of Science, next Friday evening, a week from tonight, January 25th at 8 o'clock at the Dungeness Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, presented by Corgus Productions. And he joins me by phone today on Studio Tulsa. Jeffrey Ziegler, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
You know, last time you were here, you were mentioning this project that I think was just in the beginning commissioning stage, The Sound of Science. How did this project get started?
The idea of marrying music and science together has been on my mind for many years. And so it was just the right kind of convergence of things when the composer Graham Reynolds contacted me. Graham is a fantastic composer based in Austin, and we had been discussing doing various projects over the years, but he came to me with this idea of commissioning a group of composers to write music inspired by the scientists of their choice. And I thought it was such a terrific idea, especially in this day and age. And so that began the conversation that eventually became The Sound of Science.
So as you began approaching composers, were they open to this? Was it took some convincing? Or I know in some cases it didn't, because in one case, the composer's mother is a scientist and she's inspired by the mother.
Yes, Maya Ratkia, she's a composer that I've been a huge fan of hers for, I mean, it must be like 10 years I've been following her work. And I confess, I'd actually asked her many years ago to commission her, and she was very busy. And so I was very worried that, you know, she would be too busy yet again. But when we approached her for this project, she said, absolutely. And because her mother is a very noted chemist in Norway, she had been wanting to find a way of collaborating in some way with her mom for her entire life, probably. So I think that, you know, the timing for that was just perfect. But as far as like the other composers are concerned, Graham and I, we made our lists and we compared them and discussed the range of the project that we wanted. We definitely wanted to have a very diverse group. We wanted people from all over the world, men and women. We wanted to have a range of styles, so it wouldn't be unified in a certain musical sense, but more conceptually. And so when we kind of narrowed it down to a group that we thought was great, we started asking them, and everybody said yes. It was like the pins fell very quickly from that point on.
Now, it sounds like some of the composers actually really got into the person they were inspired by and had conversations with them when they were able to. Some of them chose historical figures who are no longer with us, but many of them developed relationships with these scientists to understand their work and try to put it into some sort of musical palette.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, as you mentioned with Maya, she, of course, has perhaps the closest relationship with the scientist. It's her mother. But then you have a situation like Sarah Lipstadt, where, you know, her life was very directly affected by the work of Marie Curie. You have somebody like Flore Musasuso, who grew up on a peanut farm in Gambia. And so he felt this immediate connection to George Washington Carver. So I think that for all of the composers, they clearly spent a lot of time, you know, ruminating and thinking about composers that they were either deeply inspired by and or scientists who had a direct impact on their life or their approach.
But in the case of, say, Paolo Prestini, there, the climatologist, Andrew Kirchevich, sought her out before probably this project, actually. They wanted to collaborate on something even before this project, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, that collaboration began, like when we asked Paola for about this work, she had already begun this conversation with Andrew because of some other work that Paola was already in development for. And so this was already kind of where her creative thoughts were. So again, like the timing of it was perfect because this is really, you know, what she was working on at the time.
Now, this idea of composers writing music inspired by science, you know, music has taken many other fields for its sources of inspiration, other art, nature, human emotions, man's humanity and inhumanity to man, war. But I'm trying to think of another inspiration of pure science on music. Can you think of any?
Oh, yes, absolutely, actually. I mean, of course, you have the most famous, The Planets, Gustav Holst. I'm also thinking of the work of Terry Riley. When I was in the Kronos Quartet, there is a fantastic work called Sun Rings that was based on capturing sounds recorded from outer space, which I thought was really fascinating because I thought that there was no sound in outer space. But I guess it really depends on having the right instrument to read it, to understand it. So, and so he constructed this full-length, like 90-minute, awesome work with a choir that we would tour with quite consistently. And so I think that, you know, the thing about music is that music is always looking around and listening and finding inspiration from so many different sources. And I think that, you know, science, of course, is a very broad topic because are you talking about climate science? Are you talking about nature? Are you talking about astrology? I mean, one of the composers actually was inspired by the work of somebody who's studying extraterrestrial life, you know, which, of course, you know, there's a debate whether or not that, you know, aliens really exist. And so, you know, just the idea of approaching the environment and the world and the universe from different angles, there's plenty to be inspired by. And I think that one of the wonderful things about this project is the range of thought and inspiration that took place.
As the pieces began coming in, were you surprised at that variety?
I was pleased. With each piece that came in, I thought, oh my gosh, like each composer really jumped in 100%, 150%, both the concept of the project with the scientists, but also technologically, how they tackled the totality of the project. I was just bowled over. I was just very pleased with everyone's contribution.
Now, Graham Reynolds, who you mentioned at the start, was sort of the composer that sort of helped start you on this trail. He contributed two pieces, but I think we ought to hear some music. And I think the very first track on the CD, The Brain, would be a great place to start. Tell us a little bit about this piece.
So, yeah, this piece was inspired by Kristen Harris, who is a neuroscientist based at UT Austin. And the piece is entitled The Brain. And so, as you'll hear, it's very fast, very furious. And I think that it sort of illustrates the electricity and everything fire through one's brain as they think, as they're doing actual thought, and how it you just kind of imagine traveling through the brain in close proximity.
Well, let's hear a little bit of selection. This is by my guest today, Jeffrey Ziegler, a cellist from his new project, The Sound of Science, the music of Graham Reynolds, The Brain, which is inspired by University of Texas neuroscientist Kristen Harris. Here's a bit of that music. ¶¶ music from The Sound of Science, from the piece The Brain by Graham Reynolds, by my guest today, cellist Jeffrey Ziegler. And what I really found fascinating about this piece was when I looked at some of her research, Kristen Harris's, what she's trying to understand is analyzing how synapses work, those, you know, the connections between the neurons. And I thought this piece really captured that idea, especially when I'm fond when I have a brain cramp. I say my synaptic gap has grown larger.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I sometimes wonder the same thing. I've actually not had a conversation with her, but whenever I'm learning something new, there's like that, you know, part of your brain that, like, it doesn't necessarily hurt, but it's just like, like you're trying to shove something very heavy through something. And, you know, sometimes, like, when I'm learning a new piece of music, I find it very frustrating. And so I sometimes laugh, at, like, well, that must be a synapse thing, connection, because there's something reluctant in my brain happening, but it's good for me. You know, that piece obviously jumps out in so many ways. When I was when we had collected all of the music and I was learning it and trying to figure out how to put the CD, the recording itself, together, I immediately saw, based on the music that everybody wrote, that there was a kind of a puzzle for what to do about the order of the album. Because I felt like every single piece, every single composer had written kind of like a universe in itself. And so each one can stand alone totally on its own. So there wasn't a clear opener. There wasn't a clear ender. There wasn't a clear. And so I just from a pacing perspective, it was quite a puzzle. But, you know, the more and more I thought about it, I thought, you know what, the brain, it's just like you step up. It's like the leadoff hitter. You just hit a home run. Great. Now we can play the game. Like, it's just it's a, right out of the gates. It's very solid and fast and furious. I thought this would be a great way to start the album.
Now, Graham Reynolds also contributed another piece, which is very, very different, and it's inspired by a biologist, Barry Chernoff, who works on ecosystem conservation and research centered on the freshwater fishes of the Amazon basin. So what a two completely very different scientific fields for inspiration.
Yes, but the Pastaz is a completely different work, a contrasting work from the brain. Although technologically it's very similar from the performer's perspective, but the aesthetic of it is completely different. And as I play that work, I almost imagine that I'm on a boat actually going down the Amazon. So, of course, I've never actually done that before, but I can imagine what it must be like.
Now, that's something, because this is a solo performance with electronics, I would imagine the electronics part varies greatly from composer to composer.
Yes. So when we approached each individual composer, we laid out a set of parameters, which is basically a list of everything that I have to try to avoid having to buy a bunch of pedals and things like that. And I would say, and first of all, every single composer used the parameters down to a T. A couple of the composers, like Maya Ratkia, Sarah Lipstay, were extremely specific about each individual foot pedal and the exact setting. And I thought that was, I mean, I was just so blown away with the level of detail and commitment each composer gave to the project. And so, you know, recording the piece was great. It was one thing, but then it wasn't until November that I actually performed the entire program live. And that was, speaking of the technology, that was a really big challenge, because even though the parameters were laid out very clearly, each composer approached the equipment in a very unique way. So then it's one challenge to be able to play the piece, but then how do I finish one piece and then set up for the next piece and then create a program that flows fluidly. And so it was interesting, because leading up to the world premiere in November at National Sawdust, I was in a way more worried about the electronics than I was about the cello playing.
I totally understand that. And because, as you say, you know, it's one thing to to approach these pieces to record them, but it's another to perform one right after another. And once you hear the CD, you get a sense of that, because these pieces vary dramatically from piece to piece, and for the requirements of you as a cellist and you as a musician interacting with the electronics.
And there are a lot of foot pedals. and one of my friends pointed out from the concert that he thought I looked like an organ player with the amount of footwork I was doing. But it was also an interesting education for me, because even though I've been working with electronics for many years, I hadn't fully understood the physical challenge of it until this project. And what I mean by that is that, of course, as I play the cello, I have 2 feet. And the reality is I only have 1.5 feet, because there's this cello in the way. So I can't really see anything on the left side very well, because the cello is blocking my visual, the visual angle. So from a foot pedal perspective, you can kind of use the force and feel your way around, but you don't want to press the wrong thing, or you can push it further out and reach out and hit like a couple of pedals far away. So the vast majority of the foot pedals have to be on the right side, which of course, if you have to hit more than one pedal at the same time, can get very complicated. So what I did for this particular concert in November is I started adding some foot pedals on a table on my right side, which I thought was a great solution. The problem is then I have this bow in my hand, so whenever I hit like anything with my right hand, it looks like I'm the swashbuckling, or with the sword in the air. So it just, from a flow perspective, it created an interesting challenge that I hadn't, I'd considered a little bit, but not so fully.
Well, I know from my cellist friends, they're very particular about having both feet on the ground as sort of this anchor for playing the cello.
Yes, no, you need to have your feet and your rear really well balanced, so that it's like building a house. You have to have a good foundation when you play.
My guest today is Jeffrey Ziegler, a cellist, wonderful cellist who's been to Tulsa several times, both as a part of his former tenure in Kronos Quartet and as a solo cellist. And he comes back for Corgus Productions in his new project, which will be performed next Friday, a week from tonight, January 25th at 8 o'clock at the Dungeness Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. I think we should hear some more music. And I think a great piece to hear would be the piece by Fode Musa Soso, a musician and mandingo griot, who was inspired, as you mentioned earlier, by botanist George Washington Carver. He grew up on a peanut farm. Of course, Carver is the man who helped cultivate peanuts, the botanist. And so he wrote a piece called Solumbo. Tell us a little bit about this piece.
Well, Fode is a truly legendary kora player. Actually, if you trace his family back many centuries, it was actually his great-great-great-great-great sort of grandfather who invented the kora. And so he comes from a long line of kora masters.
People may not know what a kora is. Tell us what a kora is.
It's essentially like a West African harp. It's very tall. It has a broad base and many strings. I'm not even really sure how many strings, but there must be several dozen strings on it. And Fode is, one of the greatest in the world, and also one of the most beautiful human beings I've ever met. I've had the pleasure of performing with him many times, and I'm just super inspired by him and his work. Now, he is not a composer in the traditional Western classical sense, so he doesn't like sit down at the piano and write down notes. But he, when I asked him to write this piece, he sat down and wrote at the kora and recorded himself. And then he got somebody to kind of write it out in Western notation for me, which in the end proved to be completely unhelpful. I actually listened more to the recording that he made than anything. But what was interesting about this piece is that when I sat down to record it, I realized that even though I had a very strong sense for what he had written, there was a form that I needed. I felt like it needed another section to it. And so actually throughout the entire album, I ended up doing quite a lot of improvisation in the recording. I would say probably a good 35 to 40% of Sound of Science ended up being an improvisation of some sort. And so I sat down and I recorded Fode's piece in a way that I thought was really effective, and I was very happy with the results. And then I got really nervous because Fode wasn't present for the recording, and so I sent him the recording as soon as I could, and I said, Fode, what do you think? And because to be completely fair, I changed quite a bit. I added a lot of effects, distortion, and everything. And in the end, he gave his seal of approval. And all I would say is that even though I kind of like went off the rails on my own a lot in making this recording, the entire way, just from my experience of having performed with Fode, I was sort of imagining, well, what would Fode do here? What would Fode do here and there? And so he definitely guided the inspiration of the recording 100%.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Salumba. This is the music of Fode Musa Soso and Jeffrey Ziegler, part of the Sound of Science project. Music by Fode Musa Soso, one of the composers Jeffrey Ziegler commissioned for his new project, The Sound of Science, who he'll be performing at next Friday evening, January 25th at 8 o'clock at the Dungeness Theater of Tulsa Performing Arts Center, presented by Corgus Productions, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. I'd like to play one other piece, if we could, in our remaining time, and there's so many interesting pieces. I should mention Felipe Perez Santiago's piece, Quest. You mentioned one of the composers being inspired by astronomer Jill Tarter, who's a co-founder of the SETI Institute. And that's a very interesting piece. And it's, again, what I would expect a cello and electronics to sound like. But it's still a very engaging and very interesting piece. What was your thoughts and reactions to that particular piece?
Well, Felipe is one of my oldest composer collaborators. He's written, I would say maybe five pieces for me over the years. I first met him shortly after joining the Kronos Quartet because he was the second under 30 recipient of the Kronos Quartet. And we immediately hit it off, and he's super talented. And so when Graham and I were initially making a list of composers for this project, Graham, who's also a fan of Felipe's work, we both unanimously agreed, okay, we have to have Felipe on the project, absolutely. This particular piece is probably, I think Felipe always has a little bit of kind of rock and roll in his sound, and this one really is a very forward energy type of piece, very difficult. And actually, in the process of learning the piece, Felipe and I had a long discussion about literally several of the passages and notes, just to kind of explore ways to make it more idiomatic on the instrument. But at the end of the day, even though it's pretty much as idiomatic as it can get, it's a fast and furious piece. And after the premiere, Felipe was literally sitting in the front row. He came up to me afterwards like, hey, that's a really hard piece, man. I didn't realize how hard it was. I was like, yeah, it is. But I love playing it. It's very exciting.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Quest, if we can. This is the piece by Santiago from the Sound of Science project by Jeffrey Ziegler. That's music that will be performed in Tulsa next Friday in the Sound of Science project, the commission project of cellist Jeffrey Ziegler, commissioning 7 composers to be inspired by science. And I hope a lot of people come out next Friday. Jeffrey Ziegler, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I think we're going to leave folks with a little more music. And this is by Sarah Lipstate, The Radiation in Moderation, inspired by Marie Curie. Anything you want to say about this before we close?
It's a fantastic piece. Sarah speaks in the liner notes about her very personal experience when she was in college. She was in the hospital, and she had to undergo this treatment where they were she had to ingest food and liquids that contained radioactive isotopes. And so she was, through this experience, inspired by the work of Marie Curie. And so she created this piece that you can almost imagine these isotopes passing through the human body.
All right. Jeffrey Ziegler, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Cellist Jeffrey Ziegler performs his new project, The Sound of Science, next Friday evening, January 25th at 8 o'clock at the Dungeness Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, presented by Corgus Productions. For more information, visit tulsapac.com for ticket information. That's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.